That was reason number one. Says reason number two, says it could be that if Yaakov were to send regular human beings, Esau would kill them on the spot. So for their own safety, Yaakov did not send regular shluchim, human shluchim, he sent Malach. And reason number three, which in fact the Medrash says, reason number three was he was hoping maybe to instill a little bit of fear into Esau, which really was the case. According to one Medrash, Esau's 400 men, they ran away. They got so scared. So Yaakov Avinu was hoping to instill fear in Esau, so maybe he sent Malach. This is three pshatim. So again, number one, could be that Esau wouldn't want to pay attention to regular people, he sent Malachim. Number two, he was afraid regular people might be killed. And number three, he wanted to instill fear in Esau. The Sefer Kaimitz HaMincha says a fourth pshat. Sefer Kaimitz HaMincha says, Yaakov Avinu didn't know exactly how to handle with an Esau. He said, you know, the way the lashon of the pasuk is, Bonu el achicha el Esau. Yaakov Avinu had a suffix. Will he act to me like a long lost brother? Or will he act to me like Esau of Russia? This was the suffix. So in Eilat, he had to know what was Esau's attitude. What was Esau thinking inside? Is Esau planning on coming violently? So then Yaakov Avinu had to handle with him in a violent way. Or perhaps Esau needs to come in a friendly way. A regular person can't read minds and can't really read between the lines of what Esau's intentions were. So he had to send the supernatural being, that's a malach, only a malach would be able to tell what Esau's real intentions were. And Taka, the way the pasuk says, Banu el achicha el Esau, we came to the one that you thought was your brother, but the truth is he's coming as Esau Arusha, he's coming in a violent manner. But that's only something that only Malachim are able to tell. Mamele, he sent Malachim, that's the pshat that the Kaimitz HaMincha says. Yaakov Avinu, as he's preparing for Esau's arrival, he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Kotainti mikol ha-chasodim mikol ha-emes. He says, I am not worthy, I am small from all of the chasodim and all of the truth, asher asis es avdecha. Rashi says, Kotainti means, Nismatim zuchuyoysai. My merit has gotten less, mikol ha-chasodim and mikol ha-emes, from all of the goodness that you did with your servant. Kivamakli avarti es ha-yarden hazeh. I went over the yarden just with one plain stick, va'atohi yisi l'shnei machadais. And from a person that had nothing, all he had was a stick, now he's big enough, he has so many avodim, and he has such a large family, and he has so much lechosim, that he can split it into two camps. So the Chofetz Chaim tells us on the words, Kotainti mikol ha-chasodim. What is the word mikol doing over there? Kotainti min ha-chasodim u-min ha-emes. My zechusim have gotten less because of the chesed and the emes that you did with me. But what is the mikol ha-chasodim? What is that adding over here? So the Chofetz Chaim says, in Mayu Dikibshat, Chaim says, that if you have a storekeeper that deals with a wholesaler, and he always orders merchandise from him and he sells it, so very often he's not going to have enough funds to cover the merchandise. And sometimes the chayv gets bigger and bigger that he owes this middleman. Kolzman, he pays up little by little. See, he always could have build up the chutzpah to say, can you send me more merchandise? Can you send me more merchandise? I got him. He still has a big chayv to pay. But at least if the wholesaler sees that he intends on paying back the chayv little by little, he'll keep on sending it. But someone that doesn't plan on paying, he doesn't pay a drop of the chayv, where can he have the chutzpah to ask for more merchandise? He says, you haven't paid up a penny of the old merchandise. How do you expect new merchandise? This is what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. What can I ask Hashem for? How can I call out to Hashem and ask for more favors? All of the chasodim he did to me, they're still all there. I didn't pay back any of it. Bishlam, if I would have paid back a little bit, so then I can ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for more chasodim. Over Marshal Hashem, how can I answer back Hashem to send me more? If kol tagmaloi yoloi, all of the gemul, all of the chasodim he did for me, not one thing has been paid back yet. Of course, David HaMelech said this mitaychas anovet. So after Chofetz Chaim, that's the pshat over here. Kotainti mikol ha-chasodim, u-mikol ha-emes. Yaakov Avinu in his anovet, he said, I've gotten so much from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've gotten so much chesed, and I haven't paid back a kihuzeh. How do I have the chutzpah to ask for more? That's why katonti mikola hasodim umikola emes. The pasuk goes on to say, by yira Yaakov ma'oid, Yaakov Avinu was very afraid. By yetchala he was worried. As Rashi says, he was afraid that he would be killed, and he was worried that he might kill others. By yachatz es ha'om asher ita, and he split up the nation that was with him. V'esatzoyim, v'esabokar, v'hagmalim, v'shnei machanes. And then he said, by yomer, im yovi esir al hamachna ha'achas v'hiko, if esir comes to one camp and he smites it, v'hoya hamachna ha'nishor l'pleita. Rashi says, v'hoya hamachna ha'nishor l'pleita, the other camp will be for a refuge, al karchay, against his will, because I'll wage a war with him. How did Yaakov Avinu know that the other camp will be the plate? The Ramban says, he brings down a medrash that Yaakov Avinu, he split up the two camps, and the first camp that was going to face Esav, he put weaponry under their clothing. They got dressed up very nicely, but underneath they were filled with weapons, and he knew that they would be able to play a trick on Esav's men and get up and fight. So he knew for sure that would accomplish the kolapokas, that the other camp will be able to get away. Another pshat that the Ramban says is that Yaakov Avinu knew, I guess the Avtocha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knew that most definitely not all of them will be destroyed, there'll definitely be a refuge, but he was worried that there'll be a good chalik that might be destroyed. This is what he was worried about. So he's up to the Ramban. But what we have to understand is, Yaakov Avinu Luch Atchila split his camp into two camps. But at the very end, you don't find that they were split into two camps. At the very end, Esav comes, and they were all there together. It says later on that Yaakov Avinu, he put the Shvachas in the beginning, and he put Levi Lodeh Achrayinim, Verachel Levi Lodeh Achrayinim. The Seif Tachor was they weren't split. So what happened in the middle, all of a sudden, that from splitting the two, now when they actually encountered Esav, they were all there together. So the Netziv says that all of these hachonis were only made on the first day. Because Yaakov Avinu thought that Esav was coming suddenly, and he's going to attack quickly. So Yaakov Avinu, right away the first day, he was worried he has to do something quickly, and he split them into two machnes. After he saw that Esav was not coming that first day, and probably Esav was staying overnight somewhere, so it wasn't such an emergency. So Yaakov Avinu, you know, he already said that Mistama, you know, it's not necessary to split them right away. It might take a while till he comes. He wasn't worried. Then over that night, he had the Ma'avak, he had the encounter with the Sar Shel Esav. And once the Sar Shel Esav gave him the bracha, and he said, he sarisim elehim v'manoshim v'atuchol, and he already promised him that everything's going to be fine. So once he did that, he didn't have to split anymore with Shnei Machmeis. That's the way that the Tziv learns Alpi Shitas Rashi. But I found that the Rishbam says a very interesting thing. The Rishbam says that originally it could be the Yaakov Avinu was planning on splitting them, and he was afraid. But in the middle, he tried a different tactic. In the middle, after he sent the Matonis, and after he told the Avodim, you should say that this belongs to Esav, you belong to me, and he's coming after us, he's coming to meet you. And then Yaakov plotted to run away in a totally different direction. In other words, he planned this to be a decoy, that he's going to send the Matonis to Esav, and the message will be with the Avodim, Yaakov is coming to greet you, and the end result will be, he'll go in a totally different direction. When it says, Vayavar, he brought ever, as Mavri Yavar, he was planning on escaping and not encountering Esav at all. However, when he met the Malach that night, the Malach told him, you have no right to go away from Ashgachas Advairi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to meet Esav. Once you decided to meet Esav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to meet him and to believe in Hashem that nothing is going to happen to you. You have nothing to run away from. Face the music, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. So once the Malach was ma'akiv him, so he decided to meet him. But L'chatchila wanted to take a different approach. He plotted one way. Later on, he decided to escape. That didn't work out because the Malach told him, go and encounter Esav and don't worry about a thing. Vayomer, when he met the Sar Shel Esav, after getting into a wrestling match with him, whatever that means, it was really a spiritual encounter. Rashi brings down by Ovek Ishima, they were kicking up dust all the way to the Kisei HaKovid. Vayomer, it was a Ruchni, is the Kebabel. Vayomer, and the Sar Shel Esav told Yaakov, Lo Yaakov Yeyomer Eishimcha, no longer will it be said that your name is Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael, it will be Yisrael. Ki sarisa im Elohim, because you struggled with higher spiritual forces, the imanoshim, and with humans, batucho. And you were capable, you overcame them. Now first of all, the Lashon is a little bit schwer here. It should have said, lo Yaakov yikoreo yichimcha. Yaakov will no longer, your name will no longer be called Yaakov. What is the Lashon? Lo Yaakov ye omer yichimcha. Yaakov will no longer be said that Yaakov is your name. Pashto Pshat is that the name Yaakov itself wasn't such a problem. It's how Esav used the name Yaakov. Esav used the name Yaakov by Yaakveni ze Pahamim. He outwitted me twice. In other words, Esav used that name as Yaakov to besmirch Yaakov's name. He says, really, I'm the Bechor, and really, Yaakov should be on the bottom. Vayakveni zepamayim, he outwitted me twice, and that's why he was eichet to the brothers. But he doesn't really deserve it. So it wasn't so much the calling of the name that was the problem. It's what Esav said about that name. It's what Esav said that name represents. For that the Malach told him, for Yaakov ye omer eitshimcha. No longer will it be said that your name is Yaakov, ki yim Yisrael. Because Yisrael is a symbol of power. You were able to encounter Malachim and men batucho. Now Yaakov says, Rashi says over here, ki sarisa im Elohim v'im anoshim. Who are the anoshim? That's Lavan and Esav. But the problem is he didn't get encounter Esav. He encountered the Sarshal Esav. But he didn't encounter Esav yet. So how does it say, Beloshen Avar, Ki Sarisa im Elohim v'im Anoshim, you have encountered Elohim and men, when he did not yet encounter Esav? Poshkepshat, you could say it was a Haftach, you could say, Ki Sarisa, it's as if it's done already. I saw maybe the Kemaisa with the Brisker Rav. During World War II, Brisker Rav was running away. He had a few of his children with him. And one of the places he ran to originally was Vilna. And in Vilna, they were able to get a hold of an apartment. It was a nice apartment. It was roomy, it had nice windows with light, and it was a comfortable apartment. But then the Russians started coming into Vilna, and they started appropriating the apartments for themselves. They came in, if they liked an apartment, they chased the Yidden out, and they gave them some other apartment somewhere else on the outskirts. So one day the Russians come in here, and they tell them, you know, you're going to have to move, and we have a different house for you. And they told them exactly where the house is. So the Briskarov's daughter went out to see. She was curious to see what the house looked like. She came back, she was totally depressed. It was a house somewhere out in Yehuditsville. It was not anywhere near the city. It was somewhere in an abandoned field. There was not even a road to be able to get there. And the only thing it had in common with the house was that it had four walls. That was it. But uncomfortable and terrible. She was all depressed, and the whole family became depressed because of it. So the Briskarov, the ultimate maimon that he was, he said the following. It says over here in Parshas Vayishlach that the Sar Shel Esav said, Ki sarisa im Elohim v'manoshim batucha. And Rashi says, with who? With Lavan and Esav. She says, how can you say that he already did it when he didn't meet Esav yet? So after Brisker Rav, when we encounter enemies, the Iker Mulchama against the enemy is the Ruchnias that the Mulchama. That they try and be mashpi on us, they try and overtake us in Ruchnias. What goes on down here is just a physical manifestation of that Ruchnias that the Mulchama against an Esav or anybody else that tries to conquer over us. He says, Memela, in Yaakov's struggle against Esav, the Iker was the Ruchni Yizdika struggle. But once the Ruchni Yizdika struggle is taken care of, the rest falls by the wayside. That's what the Malach said. I am the Ruchni Yizdika Koyach of Esav. Once you've conquered over me, Memela, Esav is as good as gone. Ki sarisa, it's as if you topped already, fought an Esav, and it's as if you conquered over Esav. The Iker is to conquer over the spiritual force. Once you do that, then the physical force is gone. So the Briskarov told his kids, what do we have to worry about? The Ikru Mulchama over here is the Ruchnizik Mulchama. We have to maintain our Amuna, we have to maintain our Betokhin and Akhodesh Baruch Hu, we have to maintain our Kiddusha, and the rest will follow. Anyway, day after day, another Russian family came in, and they, it's not for us. And another family, this is not for us. Day by day, and they had there was no logical reason. It was a nice apartment. You know, it was as good as any other apartment there. Sure enough, the day they left Vilna, the apartment was given over to someone else. The first day that they left Vilna, they found out what happened. Right away, the Russians took over that apartment. After it had been given over to other people, the Russians came in and they took it over. All of a sudden, for some mysterious reason, the apartment found favor in their eyes. But that's the pshat. If a person is Beteyach Hashem and he overcomes the Ruchnias that can struggle, Memela, it's as if Kisarisa, it's as if you were already victorious. So, faint of shot from the Riskarov. Vayokam Balayahu. This is actually, this pasuk happened before the struggle with the Sar Shalesa. He got up that night, Yaakov Avinu did. Vayikach Vestei Nosha Vestei Shemchaisav Vesacharo So Yelodav, his 11 children. He crossed the river pass of Yabik. So Rashi brings down the famous Chazal. His 11 children, where was Dina? He put her in a box and he locked up the box before Esav. He didn't want Esav to place his eyes on her. And in Eilu, this was a time on Yaakov Avinu, because had she married Esav, there's a good chance she would have been Mazrim Lamutav. What happened at the end, because of that, she ended up falling into the hands of Shechem. The famous question is, how can you have a tain on Yaakov Avinu? Every good Jewish responsible father would do the same thing, not to let his daughter fall into the hands of an Esav, especially since at this time, she's probably no more than about 8-9 years old. His 8-9 year old daughter. Esav, by the way, at this time was 93 years old. You know, he was a Russian for 93 years. And Yaakov Avinu didn't want his 8-year-old daughter to fall into the hands of Esav. So what kind of a time can you have in Yaakov Avinu? Furthermore, there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Naflametesam at Beis. The Gemara says, why was Avadya HaNavi sent to give Teichacha to Edom? Stating the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yovei Avadyohu, Avadyohu is a ger. Hador ben Shnei Rishon, he lived amongst Rishon, he was brought up by Rishon. V'loi lomad mimaaseyem, he didn't learn from their bad actions. And he should come and say nevuah about Esav or Russia that grew up with two tzaddikim, with Yitzchok and Rivka, and he didn't learn from them. Let Avadya, that wasn't influenced by his parents, the Rishon, come and give Teichach and say a nevuah about Edom, about Esav, that grew up among Sadiqim and did not learn from their mice. So Shtel said the Kasha, say for Rinas Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, Sarosk and Shlita, asked the Kasha, Esav grew up with Yitzchak and Rivka. He had two Nevi'im as his parents, and they couldn't be mashpia on him. And this 8-year-old girl's yet going to be mashpia on him. So what's the pshat? How could he have a taina on Yaakov Avinu? So he brings down a Gemara as follows. There's a Medrash, actually. The Medrash says I'm a racist rabbi. Maisa b'chosid echad. So Maisa with a chosid that was married to an Isha Chasida. And they were married for a long time and they didn't have any children. So they decided, you know, the way we're married now, we're not really bringing any tayelos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's part ways, let's get divorced. We'll marry other spouses and we'll have children. So he went out and he married an Isha Rishanta, a bad lady. And she went out and she married a Russia. She was mashpia on the Russia Litaiva and he became a good person. And he Lehepach, the man Lehepach, was influenced by his wife and he became a bad person. Zogdi Medrash on this, Have, derived from over here, Hakodmin or Isha. It all depends on the lady. There's a lady has more of an effect on her husband than the husband has on the wife. If the lady is good, she has a good hashpah on her husband. If the lady is not good, she has a bad hashpah on the husband. But more so, in both cases, you see, the husbands did not have the hashpah on the wife, it was the wife that had the hashpah on the husband. So, Yitzchak Soroska wants to tie in it. Like Bazai, that's the pshat over here. Hey, Yosef is the wife that has the hashpah. Even if she's an 8-year-old girl, she wasn't an 8-year-old girl like today. She was obviously more mature and more developed, right? So chances are that she would have had more of a hashpah on Esav than Esav would have had on her. And therefore the odds were that she'd be mashpia on him to tell you she could have been mazrim l'mutav. That's what he wants to learn shot. Now it also may very well be, I just want to be moist and a little knach, that it could be that other rabbi, The hashva of Yitzchak and Rivka might not have been enough, but it definitely was there. So much so that if she would have been mashpia on him, together with the hashva that was instilled with him from Yitzchak and Rivka, she would have brought it over the top, and the male could be he would have been zeichet to two over. That nekuda that the wife has more of hashpa on the husband than the husband has on the wife, that's why over here there was a taina. In the maise of Shechem kidnapped Dina. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in his sefer Emes LeYaakov, he has numerous ha'oras over here. Number one, it says, V'Yaakov Shoma ki timei Shechem es Dina bitoy. Yaakov heard that Shechem defiled Dina, his daughter. Ubonav hayu in mikneu basad, the sons were out with the cattle in the field. The hechrish Yaakov ad boyam, and Yaakov was silent until the sons came. So, Pector Yaakov, why was he silent? Why did he need his children? Yaakov Avinu wasn't capable of answering Shechem and Chamor by himself. He needed the help of his children. Yaakov was the gadol hador. Yaakov Avinu was tested through life, through the nesiyonos of life. So what was the pshat? He had to wait for his children to come. That's question number one. Question number two. Yaakov Avinu got angry on Shimon Velevi that they killed the people of Shechem. He said, "Achartem oisi, you made me uncomfortable, lahavisheni, and to make a big ruach for me amongst the people." Shimon and Levi answered, "Hakizoyne yeyoses achiseinu. Should our sister be made into a Zion, into a harlot?" Yaakov Avinu did not answer them back. So, two things. Number one, what was Yaakov angry about? He knew l'chitchila that Shimon and Levi answered them, you know, you should be mal yourself. And he knew very well that Shimon and Levi are not going to marry Ba'isha women. So, why did he get angry at the end? What was he so angry about? If he knew l'chitchila that they were saying this. Number two, when they give an answer, Hakizayna Yosakhizainu, sounds like a good time. We're sticking up, you know, we're coming to the defense of our sister. And Yaakov doesn't answer. So does that mean that Yaakov was masking to them? What's the pshat? These are some of the ha'oris that Yaakov asks on this parsha. So let's answer the ha'oris one by one. Question number one was, why did Yaakov Avinu have to wait for his sons to come back from the field? Zokhir Yaakov. There's two ways to handle with people. There's when you handle with regular people, straight people that you can talk to, you have to handle in the Derech HaYosha. Now with Prunkheit, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should guard us from our lips talking mirma. Because when you handle with people, you have to handle in a straight way. But that's only if you're handling with straight people. If you're handling with crooked people, David HaMelech says, in Tom Titamom, in Ikesh Titapo, with a straight person, you handle in a straight way. With a crooked person, you handle in a crooked way. Yaakov Avinu was able to tell right away that with these people, you can't handle in a straight manner. These are crooked people. And yes, Yaakov Avinu was the Amud HaEmes. He was the foundation, the pillar of Emes in the world. So he'd rather not handle in a not emesdik way. Hagam, he could have. When he had to, he did so with Lavan. Then there was nobody else to handle in such a manner. So he handled with Lavan in a crooked way. But now that he was able to do it with his sons, and he was the Amura Emes in the world, he waited for his sons to come, let them speak Bemirma. That is Ha'ori number one. Ha'ori number two. So why was he so angry at them? If he knew l'chitchila that they said, be mal yourselves. And he knew they're not going to marry them. So what was his surprise afterwards that made him get so angry? So Rav Yaakov, that he understood that they wanted them to be mal themselves. They would get up kishvach, and in that way they'd be weak, and in their weakened state it would be easy for Shimon Velevi to come and take their sister back. But he didn't think that they were going to go and kill everybody out. This is what he got angry at. The fact that you told them to mouth themselves, you have to handle with these people the mirma. They're mirmadikah people, they're crooked people, you have to handle in a crooked way. But later on, you went and you killed them all out. That's what got him angry. That's what Yaakov was upset about. That's ha'ora number two. Ha'ora number three is, it says, HaKisoyne Yosef HaKisoyne. And Yaakov Avinu doesn't answer back. Was he masking to their taina? Was he not masking to their taina? What did he hope? So, Yaakov,
The Yaakov Avinu's answer came when he gave the brachas in Parshas Vayechi.
Shimon v'Levi acha, fechomus mecheri seyem, b'soydem al tovei nafshi.
And over there he gave them teichach. Keep a apple more who wish, with Shimon v'Makrushar.
And that's where he gave them the teichach.
He was not master. Was Taka the Pshat? What was Taka the Pshat?
The answer is, at one certain, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Giftas Atzal said this, that we didn't have plenty of good timers in Golus. Plenty of good timers. But Kolzman were outnumbered by the Goyim, those good timers fall by the wayside. In other words, you have to be machmir yourself to the Goy. You have to do everything possible to avoid being taken by the Goy. But once the Avla was done, you have to realize you're outnumbered. And Kolzman were in Golus, all of our timers, you know, you could time it from Heimbisberg. Anybody with a half a brain in his head could see what's going on in the Middle East today. That Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by subhumans, by beasts that kill each other out, that are not interested in the value of life b'chlal, and yet they hold Eretz Yisrael accountable for what's going on over there. That we're like, we're the instigators. What's the pshat? Because in their eyes, they don't believe we have a right to exist. We're outnumbered by the Goyim. We're living in the darkness of the Golus. All of the Gevaldic times that we have today, by the Goyim, it's silch. They don't believe we have a right to exist. That's the pshat over here. The taina was a good taina. But when we're in Golus, even the best tainas, they don't hold water. You have to be machmir yourself. Do the minimum. You could have done the minimum. But to go out and to fully stick up for the covet of your sister, that was enough. That was the taina of Yaakov. Dr. Yankov, a mother of the Kipshat, says at the end it says, Achalkim be Yaakov, v'achitzem be Yisrael. I will split them up in Yaakov, I will spread them out in Yisrael. Levi, he'll be in a Malamed Teira. Shimon, he will be the Malamed Tanaikis. So Pashtim Shad is, it was like to spread them out, to put them down, that they shouldn't be together because they're dangerous together. Rabbi Yaakov learns Pshat, Moyudik of psychology over here. Yaakov Avinu Hagami had times on Shimon Velevi, but he admired their passion for sticking up for the covet of their sister. Maybe the compassion that they were willing to be Moshe Nefesh and single-handedly go out and kill the entire city for the covet of their sister. They talk and did the wrong thing. But the passion and the koyach and the rutzen was there. It says that rutzen should be used for teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael. Because the only people that should teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, to teach little Kindle, to spread the Torah to the next generation, they have to have a passion, they have to have a rutzen for that. This rutzen that they had in sticking up for the covet of their sister, that is the kind of rutzen that should be there for the people that are makabel shem shamayim that teach Torah to others. So it wasn't just he was giving them a punishment. Adarabah. He says, Klal Yisrael needs that passion. Over here it was talking misguided. Over here they talked the charity too far. Over that koyach could be used chelach l'iraisa. That koyach could be used l'shem Torah. Now that's a maybe the kid pikchus. First of all, the pshat mitzad of Yaakov, but it's a moedik of pikchus mitzad, the chanachim and parents. They have to know. Sometimes a kid will act not the right way. But if you look beneath the surface, that koyach that was used to pull the shtick, that koyach that was used to pull that spitzel, there's tremendous potential over there that if garnered the right way, it could do a gevaldi gezachim. And that's really the pshat over here. Yaakov Avinu, mitoichas anger. And he had a time, he made a mistake, and he did the wrong thing, and he got me into a lot of trouble. But at the same time, he saw that koyach, and he said, that power should be used to spread Torah and Klal Yisrael. A good Shabbos, everybody. Shabbos is Shabbos.